Well, we're here talking to our friends at the Arkell Museum in Canajoharie, and it's a great pleasure to welcome both Diane Forsberg. Good morning, Diane. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sarah. You are wonderful. and also Library Director Leah LaFerra is here as well to talk about the goings-on at the Arkell. Thank you very much, both, for being here.
Well, it's wonderful to be here.
Thanks for having us.
From Gavarni to the Brooklyn Bridge, American Impressionist Paintings from the Arkell Collections is currently on display at the Arkell Museum in Canajoharie, and this is a rather remarkable exhibit.
It is, and it's all from our permanent collection, which is quite wonderful.
It's nice to show off the stuff, isn't it?
We do have an amazing collection. And so this exhibit explores the work of American Impressionists who mostly went to France and were exposed to French Impressionists or saw the French Impressionists at an exhibit in New York. And I'm giving a talk this very Sunday at 2 o'clock on this exhibit. And the talk will introduce some of the French Impressionists that influenced or were friends with the American Impressionists. And we'll start with what happened in Giverny.
So this will take place on Sunday at 2 o'clock at the museum. And what is the ultimate message you want to get across?
Ooh, that Americans learned from the French but made Impressionism their own.
Okay. That's a good one.
And there was, you know, Giverny's the starting point because of this particular exhibit, because that's where Monet found his home. He moved there in 1883. And American artists who were exposed to his work, were impressed by his work, went to Giverny in the hopes of perhaps meeting him or being inspired by the landscape that inspired him. And we have an artist on exhibit, Theodore Robinson, who became really close friends with Monet. And they had a very interesting relationship, learning from each other and sharing. And some of Robinson's best work was in Giverny, but a lot of American artists came back to this country and created very unique works of their own.
This is obviously the curator's talk. The exhibit will be going on for through April 28th.
It will.
And but Leah, as you are here to tell us, just one of the many events that are happening at the mm-hmm. at the Arkell. I was talking about this morning, because it's sort of the museum and the library are connected. Do you always consider yourself one unit, or is it the museum and a library, or a library and a museum?
It depends.
Would I get a different answer if I asked Diane? I bet I would.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Well, it depends. Sometimes we have distinctly different programs. Sometimes we have joint programming. So really, it sort of depends on what audience we're trying to capture. One of the events that we do have coming up is a joint effort is on March 24th. We have a benefit concert that's going to raise money for the library and the museum. That's Exline Ross and Eisenman. It's on March 24th at 2 p.m. And they're going to be playing music that's inspired by our art collection, actually, which should be really interesting.
Mm-hmm. And how does that happen? How do they become inspired by your art collection?
Oh, Diane, you want?
This is the second time, I believe, that they have donated their services. They're not getting any pay for this. They're really thinking of this as a fundraiser for the museum.
You benefit.
And
they don't.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we hope that they
will get
performing
out, of course.
In our environment.
Well, they came
environment.
Back. That's
yes.
a good sign.
And this, you know, we need this kind of support. We often have concerts in the Great Hall, and so it's part of that tradition also that they're coming here for. We hope that people arrive a little before the concert, just as we hope people arrive a little before the talks to take a look at the exhibits and see the connections between the music
and that helps.
The art.
Yeah. And I would assume, especially even with your talk, mm-hmm. of having them, as you referencing, know what you're speaking of and about.
Yes. And we also have another talk coming up Nature, From Howling Wilderness to Vacation Destination, that's being presented by Charles Mitchell, who is on the faculty of Elmira College. And that fits perfectly with our exhibition, Pastoral and Parkland. Except what Professor Mitchell is doing is he's taking it to a little bit earlier time period, where the wilderness is what fascinated the American and European public. And he's taking it all through time, different ways Americans have looked at the landscape, all the way up through the Lorax.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Very cool. And then I assume you're getting ready for the late spring and summer.
We are. Right now I'm working on getting a loan exhibition that relates to our wonderful James McNeill Whistler portrait or landscape of the Seine. Oh, excuse me. I'm still thinking French Impressionist.
Yes, absolutely.
Landscape of the Thames.
Of the Thames.
But the show what we're working on is actually his etchings of Venice.
Oh, wow.
So that will be in April.
And how do you...
Late April.
Wait, late April.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's say
almost
May.
Almost May.
How do the two of you work together in figuring out the program? Is that all a group effort, or how does that work?
Well, I think that we each do our own program. So, you know, as library director, Leah looks at programming and, you know, the books for the library. And as museum director, I look at the exhibit schedule and the programs. Sometimes we're talking about how we have the same audience. We do have a local audience. But for the museum, a lot of times our audience is, you know,
coming off the thruway.
Yes. Quite a ways away. So at times we're really planning for very different audiences. I think one of the things that the museum really, you know, wants to do, and especially with the new building, is attract tourists to Canajoharie. And I have to tell you, we have a lot of new shops in town. So it's really getting quite exciting to be in downtown Canajoharie. We've got Brotherhood Antiques and Gallery 63. Is that mm-hmm. the one we just visited, mm-hmm. Leah?
It's a really awesome little vintage clothing store, Gollum yeah. Vintage, that just
Excellent.
Opened up.
And then Picture Perfect's been there for years, Harry's Pottery. So there's a lot to do when you come to town.
And what kind of, and as far as attracting people to the museum, I mean, we found it during the fund drive that it's an easy sell because people will go there specifically for that. But then obviously, I assume there's some pressure upon you from the Chamber of Commerce to say, well, keep them here.
Yes.
Don't let them go.
And they help keep them there because of the great restaurants you can have lunch at and, you know, the different shops. So. You know, I think that we went through a bit of bumpy time when our roads were all dug up and it was hard to get to the shops, but all the road work's done, the village looks beautiful, and we have lots of shops to visit.
Are you seeing your numbers go up as a result?
The numbers have held pretty steady. In fact, I have to say, if we're looking at our annual numbers, they've actually gone down a little, and that's a direct reflection of having a few less exhibits, because every time you change exhibits, you bring new people in.
Sure.
So, but I think it's held steady, but I think I'd have to ask the chamber about the restaurants and stuff. People sort of found their way around the bumpy road to get to the museum. We didn't, you know, have that issue that a lot of the shops had with getting people in during the road.
And Lee, as a library director, of having people come in specifically for the library, do you find that they're kind of looking over to see what is also at the museum? I mean, is that sort of a built-in for some people, or mm-hmm. is it a very focused view where they'll go in, go to the library, and then leave?
Yeah, well, for the most part, actually, they really do come in
yeah.
to, we've got, you know, you've got your weekly people, your monthly people that really beeline for the news section.
I have to say, this question is predicated by the fact that you have one of the most beautiful libraries.
Thank
I've ever,
you.
I mean, it's absolutely so gorgeous and cozy and mm-hmm. lovely and inviting. And
exactly.
How old is that building?
That building, well, the original part is from 1927.
That's so
and then
beautiful.
Subsequently, there were two more additions, one in the 60s, I believe, one in the 90s, to make the full library that it
right.
is today. But yeah, and that's my goal with that library, really, is to make it the most inviting place, a place that... You know, you talk about this idea of a third place. People have their work, their home, and then there's a third place in their life that they spend their time. And I'm really trying to make that that third place for the community where they can feel ownership, they can feel cozy, comfortable. We have, over the last year, added a really wonderful creative play section for our early literacy section of the library, where we've got all sorts of dramatic play, a play kitchen, fake scales, all to facilitate, you know, social interaction with kids and mm-hmm. fine motor skills. And that's really been great. Parents are bringing their kids to the library for more than just reading. And we have a lot of great events, too. Tomorrow, actually, at 11:15, we have a fitness class for families that's going on with myself and a local operator of a gym. So we're going to be doing yoga. We're going to be doing using books and movement and music.
If you use the fake scales, I think that'll be very popular.
Well, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I must admit, I'm often found in the children's section playing pretend soup for kids.
And any other exhibits you want to tell us about?
And the other thing that's coming up that's exciting is a joint effort between the library, the museum, and a historic site in the area called the Nellis Tavern. We're holding an antique fair on March 9th, and that starts at 10 a.m. There's about 25 different antique vendors, and there's an appraisal booth. And the nice thing is that if you pay $7 admission for the museum, you get into the antique fair as well. So all three of our institutions are benefiting from that. But there's some really wonderful vendors, so I do urge people to come out that day.
A lot going on in Canajoharie. A reminder, this Sunday, it's the Curator's Talk, and it's being called what?
Same as the exhibit, From Giverny to the Brooklyn Bridge, American Landscape, Impressionist Landscape Painting.
The exhibit runs through April 28th. The event takes place this Sunday at 2 o'clock. You can find out more information about both at arkelmuseum.org, arkelmuseum.org. And as far as the library exhibits, can you find those there as well?
Yeah, you can link off that, or you can just do canajoharielibrary.org.
Canajoharielibrary.org. And if not, just go to Arkell Museum and there's a link. Diane Forsberg and Leah LaFera, I thank you very much for making the trek over, and thank you so much. It's always a delight to have you here. And I wish you well and look forward to having you come back and tell us what's going on in the spring.
Thanks. Always
Thank
a pleasure.
You.
Always a delight. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.